Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Sideline. I'm your host, Addison Ouellette, and Morgan Matz couldn't make it in today, isn't feeling too well. But welcome to this episode of The Sideline, where in today's episode, we're doing our CFL Week 11 previews. And before we get into our Week 11, let's do a quick housekeeping. You can follow myself and Morgan, well, myself at @A_Ouellette31, Morgan at MorganMatz1, and the sideline at @_sideline on Twitter to keep contact with us, to see new episodes coming out, and to give us ideas of shows, episodes, topics you wish us to cover. But not only that, you can now find us on Facebook, the group, The Sideline, where you can do the exact same thing. We'll open it up for group conversations, to see your episodes you want to see, to discuss, say, our CFL week previews, our graphic novel show we've started. Go check out The Killing Joke. That was a good one. But that's where you can find us, at Facebook, The Sideline. It's a group. It's open to the public, and you're welcome to join if you want to join the conversation. So let's waste no time. Week 11, CFL, starts Thursday. Edmonton, Hamilton, at Hamilton, 5:30 p.m. on Thursday night. Let's start with Edmonton. Edmonton played last week. They beat Montreal. There was times that they let Montreal almost come back in the game, and it's like, I don't see it happening again. I think they were just trying to take advantage and put up the most points they could that game. Because if they come back and do it this week, they could possibly lose. This Edmonton team has been playing well. They're 6-3, second in the West. Their offense is 261 points for, and their defense is 222 points against. So they're definitely, the defense is stopping, and the offensive unit's able to score. It's not like, oh my god, the defensive unit's letting out so many points. The offense is having to carry the team. So it's looking like this team's a balanced team. I don't watch too much Edmonton games, but you always see one name consistent. It is Mike Riley's name. He's got to be the heart and soul of this team, possibly. Like, he is such a great quarterback. He's hands down the best quarterback in the league. And I honestly think there's a huge gap between Mike Riley and then whoever you feel is two. If that's Bo Levi, if that's Trevor Harris, whoever you think is two. I feel like that gap's huge. Because he's leading this team to wins. And I don't really know what to say, because it's an offensive unit that's playing a Hamilton team that's a quite balanced team. Yeah, Hamilton lost their last game against Winnipeg. I believe. I'm just going to check that. Yep, Winnipeg, 29-23. That was a loss in Winnipeg. And they had the bye week to come off. So, possibly, is this a team that has a plan to beat Edmonton? Because Edmonton looks like they're a beatable team. They're 6-3. But this Hamilton team's only 3-5. And their offense, I don't know if it's quite clicking. They've got 204 points for, 176 points against. Their defensive unit is, you could say, stronger than Edmonton's, just looking at the stats. But their record isn't showing it. They're 3-5 in a weak East, but they've been playing West teams here and there. It's just Hamilton's offense has so much potential. You look at the weapons that Mazzolu has. He's got He can throw it to whoever he wants. It's just, when will this click? Because they could possibly start clicking against this Edmonton team. Not the strongest defense. And if they're able to put up points and stop Mike Riley, Hamilton could win this game. But it just hasn't been clicking lately, I feel. Yep, Hamilton's played one less game than Edmonton. So they have that. And yeah, they lost to Winnipeg. That was a close one. Kind of heartbreaking. But they had the bye week to prepare. That's a perfect time with that offense, if it's struggling, to, you know, let's get it going. And we can find something to start clicking to beat this Edmonton team. Because Edmonton, I don't know if Edmonton can win this game. Because it's just, for Hamilton, they've got so many weapons. And that defense for Edmonton isn't the strongest. And it's just, when will it click for Hamilton? If it's not clicking, if they come out and they are struggling, possibly until halftime, and it's really like, oh no, what's going on? Edmonton, I think that offense is just going to go. Yeah, they may struggle a bit with this Hamilton defense. That's a strong unit. And if Edmonton, if Mike Riley gets hot, he can run away with this game. He's shown it in multiple games. And it might be hard for Hamilton to play catch up if they're struggling. If it's point for point, like, okay, Hamilton scores, Edmonton scores. And then it's Hamilton goes out, and then Edmonton gets into field goal range, gets a field goal. If it's like that, then I believe Hamilton has the ability to climb back into this game. But if it's like they're struggling to get six, but they're getting field goals, I think the Tiger Cats will lose that one. If they can't get six, or seven if they go for the field goal, or eight, it's whatever you're feeling. If they can get seven, and yeah, maybe not seven every drive, but seven, then okay, maybe three and out, maybe a field goal. If they're able to do that, they'll win this game. If they can't find the consistency to at least somehow put up points, I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with Mike Riley, to be completely honest. Mike Riley, MVP this year. He's looking like the best quarterback, best player on the field when he comes out. So I'm saying Edmonton wins this one, but don't sleep on the Tiger Cats. The Tiger Cats could possibly come back, not come back, but find their groove and they could win. I'm just not too sure when they will. So let's move on to our Friday game. We have Friday at 5:30 p.m. Toronto against Montreal in Montreal. Let's start off with the away team. They came back huge. Well, not huge. I felt like either team could have won last week between Toronto and BC. I would like to see BC win that. I'm not a BC fan, but I like Lule. But Toronto ends up winning that game 24-23. Yep. And that was due to a fumble for BC. Toronto's offense, like Bethel Thompson, what was he last game? I'm just going to load up the stats. Bethel Thompson was 18 for 29, 260 yards, a touchdown, and that might include a pick. I'm not too sure. TSN is in town. But this team's looking like a whole different team now. And not only with their ability to start growing and grooving, it's looking like they could maybe be finding their groove. They could have possibly add a potential wide receiver, Jerron Carter, which I would like to see him in Montreal. I understand why Montreal might have not taken him. You know, character issue, that team's a bad team. He might, his attitude might get out of the whack there. But with this Toronto team, that's kind of, they're on a winning streak. They've won two games. One, when it comes down, it was, what, 42-41? That's huge. Putting that against Ottawa. And then a 24-23 win against BC. They're winning games, even though they're close. But bringing in Carter, I think might, it's going to help the offense with that talent level. But this may be a smart move on Carter's side of the ball. Because when it comes down to it, you got to think, Carter, you're a great player. You have talent, and you can definitely play in the CFL. It's that character issue. You really need to work that out. And how, like, what a great way to learn how to be a pro. Because I kind of feel like that's what Carter's struggling with. He's struggling with being grown up. And you saw with the Riders that Chris Jones had to meet with them. And, you know, that might not be good as a player because coach, it's the coach's favorite. And then players start to nag you about that. And then that could have one of those arguments that we heard about in the locker room. That could have happened because of that. Okay, why not come to Toronto where SJ Green, you know, SJ Green, I feel like you need to take Jerron Carter under your wing. You've been in the league long enough. Teach the young man, even though he's 27, how to be a pro, how to be professional. And it's not like, okay, Carter's got to go for a blank amount of minutes or hours to go see the head coach like he did for in the Riders situation. No, with SJ Green, they are by their side throughout the day. They, not throughout the day, but yeah, throughout the week, whenever they're in the stadium practicing. Because that's two wide receivers, you're in the same group, you see each other each day consistently, and it's just a simple, like, Jerron Carter could be kind of throwing a fit, and SJ Green's like, hey, come on, let's act more professional, let's get you paid. That's what you want. You want to get paid and recognized as one of the best. You got to act professionally so you can stay on a team. And what perfect way, like, what a perfect thing for Carter. Not only you go to the East, weaker, your team will be able to win more and possibly get into the playoffs. But you got Trestman. Trestman is a great offensive head coach. And what a perfect way to come in, and yeah, you haven't been having the greatest success. You've been playing defense, Carter, for the last how many weeks, and now you've been cut. What a great way to come in, get Trestman to get you some looks, so then people are kind of forgetting Jerron Carter, the wide receiver, and how talented he was. Why not go to Toronto and get that ability to be that guy, the guy that everyone's like, oh yeah, Jerron Carter is one of the best wide receivers, or is the best. And not only that, he loved the fans in Regina. He loved the Saskatchewan fans. You're coming into Toronto that's having difficulties selling tickets to the game. Brendan Carter can bring that fans to him because he loves the fans. He loves the fans. You saw it in Regina. And it's one of those things. You're hoping the character issue works itself out. because bringing that in, that's a great talent that's helping you not only if they get done by Friday, not only before to get ticket sales, but he wouldn't play this week, but the next week, and he's young enough to build around. You still have him to build around for your possible future. But Toronto's looking like they might have this game in the bag, but Montreal, Johnny Manziel is out for again. He was absent from practice again. This was reported yesterday. And you're in some trouble, Montreal. People are calling you out saying, hey, they didn't do concussion protocol correctly. Which, you gotta say, they didn't. You're telling me you thought he was okay, even though when you watch the replay, he was knocked out. So, with this Johnny Manziel concussion, most likely, not most likely, is, you're hoping for when he comes back. When does he come back? But their starter last week, what was he? What was his last name? Pipkin? I'm just loading up the... Yeah, Pipkin. He was 14 of 25, 217 yards, and a touchdown. And maybe an interception, I'm not too sure. CFL refuses to tell you that stat. Not CFL, TSM on their app. But that's good numbers for what is around him at the moment. Like, he had a lot of balls dropped on him. And to be able to put up only completing four out of the 25, 217 yards, you all think, what is he able to do if the wide receivers catch more of those balls? One, two, five, more of those balls. Could he be a nice backup to Johnny, or could he possibly push Johnny for the starting job? I don't think so. I think Johnny, I hope he gets better. But having that ability to have a backup just in case is perfect. Because not only is it perfect just in case, like right now, injury-wise, but backups are fallible. Like, what happens if Ricky Ray went down and James Franklin wasn't there? He was still, say, in Edmonton. Well, then Toronto's got to call up someone and they're going to go to teams that they feel that their backup's great. You look at what the Tiger Cats were before Johnny Manziel was traded. They, right there, you have Mazzola, Manziel. Manziel's the backup, traded him. But being able to have that flexibility to have, okay, if Manziel gets hurt, we've got Pipkin to slide in. But if Manziel's healthy and he's running away, we can use Pipkin to possibly get some talent back that we've had to trade away. Maybe a wide receiver or somebody else. Which I'm quite surprised, talking about wide receiver and just talent trying to get onto this Montreal team, that they really walked away from Daron Carter. There must be something that Daron Carter's going through, or something they didn't feel right when they met, if they met with Carter or anything. Because when it comes down to it, the least talented roster in the CFL at the moment are the Alouettes, and they're turning away a talent, a like all CFL player. He's been like a 1,000-yard receiver since he came into the CFL, I believe, and you're turning that away. The character issues must be bad then. Or they feel like the talent doesn't outweigh the issues. And I'm just quite surprised that the Alouettes pulled himself from that. But that's the biggest issue with the Alouettes. Why they are the worst team in the league at the moment. It's not at the moment. They 1-8. It's because talent. Your offense has only scored 144 points, and your defense let 306. You gotta find talent. You really do. If it's, I would like to say that they were trying to get it now, but I think it's going to be wait until the off season. And they're just going to ride. If they win some, they win some. If they don't, they don't. I feel like they, in their mind, and it's quite clear, that this isn't their year. They are waiting for talent. If it's homegrown, if they're trying to grow some talent, or if it's off season, if it's something, they need to bring it in. Because with how their team is, they're going to lose. This week, Toronto's beating them. I don't think it's going to be a close game. I quite think Toronto's going to run away. Not run away like as bad as Hamilton did with, like, what, 55 points on Montreal. But I would like to see Bethel Thompson have success, more success. Maybe not win, like, those two games are quite close. First one was on him, he won that one. Second one, that fumble killed, that's the reason why BC lost. And it's just the talent comparing the rosters. Toronto's got it better, and that's why Montreal's just going to lose for maybe the rest of the year. It's just talent wise they just can't match up. So Toronto wins that one on Friday. Now we get to Saturday, our double header. The first game at 1:30, it's Winnipeg against Calgary in Calgary. Both teams coming off losses that I didn't expect Winnipeg to lose, and at the moment I didn't expect Calgary to lose. Calgary was 7-0, but Winnipeg, they lost 44-21 against Ottawa. Matt Nichols, 23 completions, 35 attempts, 291 yards, 2 touchdowns. Harris, 12 carries, 72 yards, a touchdown. And Adams, 8 catches, 126 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Yet, Nichols got booed. Now, the question is, I'm not too sure if people have said anything, but it's the reason why he got booed. He got hurt and then came back into the game. Were they booing that decision on the coach? Because they feel like Winnipeg is a playoff team, and the last thing they want to see is Nichols get hurt and playoffs might disappear. Is that a reason why they were booing? Or was it honestly they were booing Nichols coming back on the field? But looking at this, this is going to be a tough game because both teams are going to be angry. Both teams are going to be angry they lost. Winnipeg's got great defense. That's going to be an angry unit for letting up 44 points. And that offense, yeah, it was 22 points. But I feel like Nichols is going to be mad being booed. That's simple. He's going to be like, I didn't deserve that. I'm coming out. I'm going to show you why I didn't deserve that. And they're going to put up a fight. But switching to Calgary. Calgary, your perfect season was lost to the Riders. They beat you in Saskatchewan 27-40. And in this game, I was quite shocked how Calgary's defense let Zach kind of chew him apart not chew them apart like for touchdowns wise or anything like that, just the yards they let up. And I was just quite shocked that the offense for Calgary, yeah, they were scoring, but they were struggling at times. And at that moment, I kind of realized maybe Bo Levi is just a system quarterback. He just works really well with the Calgary system, and I feel like you could put any quarterback in that situation and they could have that success. But Calgary, you're at home, you're going to have some players that believe that they shouldn't have lost that. They're going to be angry, they're going to be hungry. They're at home, so they got the crowd behind them who are also angry that they lost, and they'll be revved up, and that will be a loud stadium to be in. And it's gotta be, they gotta shut down Harris. Harris is the driver of this Winnipeg bus. They play their offense through him. Running the ball, catching the ball, everything like that is through Harris. And I really think Winnipeg, yeah, Harris is great. You're going to use him as much as possible. But like they showed, they used Adams quite a bit. And I feel like they're going to kind of make that system to go, okay, yeah, it's mostly Harris, but we've got to find other options just in case Harris isn't working out, which possibly could happen against in the Stampeders game. And not only is this offense going to have to find a groove going, they were struggling because Western Dressler was out. That was a huge loss for them. And Stampeders was, I don't know. I really don't know what happened. I was quite shocked. But I feel like the Stampeders are going to win this one. It's going to be maybe a blowout. It might be close. I can see it kind of going either or after seeing what happened in that Rough Rider game. What happened to Calgary in the Rough Rider game. And Winnipeg's defense being a strong unit like it is. It's just questioning that offense and trying to figure out if they can also help. But switching to our last game this week, it is also on Saturday. It's at 8 p.m. It's Saskatchewan against BC in BC. Let's start off with the Riders. The Riders won the Calgary game 40-27. Zach was, 25 for 34, 270 yards. Mason was 12 carries for 55 yards. And Williams Lambert, 10 catches for 152 yards. Well, is it, what can we say? It's Saskatchewan, I guess. And honestly, that offense was struggling so much due to Zach being out, because you saw things and you saw him taking shots. You saw him, yeah, they worked some screens here and there, but that offensive unit looked great. They looked like the offensive unit that I expected as a fan to see right away. And it was awesome. It was awesome to see the Riders beat the Stampeders. And I just kind of sat back and I was like, I didn't see this happening, to be completely honest. But not only that, they showed that they didn't need Daron Carter, and maybe Daron Carter was actually hurting them. Because, yeah, you didn't get Rosenvolt involved, but Lambert there, he's looking like he's Zach's favorite target. He's gotta be. You know, some of those catches, like the one when he jumped up, was getting tackled, and then there's a guy below him, and he came down with that. That's a throw a quarterback throws, feeling comfortable with their wide receiver, feeling like they can trust him to come down with the ball. And that run game, they ran when they needed to run, and they were it was quite, all this time, I was questioning the Riders, like, when's this, like, could they possibly miss the playoffs because this offense isn't clicking, it's not going on, and it just showed last week that, hey, we had a plan, we have a plan, it's just, man, if we can keep our guy healthy, if we can keep Zach healthy, and if we can, that's a great game. Yeah, you want to see a touchdown or two or more from him, but he didn't turn the ball over, which was a great game offensively, but defensively, that Rider defense was awesome. They were blitzing, they were getting to Bo Levi, they were picking the ball off. They were the heart of the team at the beginning of the year, but it's definitely shown with this offensive unit showing up, it's making the defense realize, hey, the pressure isn't all on our shoulders. Our offense is able to come up, show up, play great football now with one, everyone's healthy. And now with that going on, the defense is feeling good because they're not coming on the field right away. And this Riders team could light on fire and could finish maybe top. We don't know. They could, honestly, I hope they do well, and I hope the success doesn't go straight to their head. But being the Stampeders, yeah, you're going to feel confident. But BC was hot. BC could have easily won the game last week. And Travis Lule is looking good. It's just the fumble happened and they lost the game. One bad mistake, you could say. That's honestly what came down to it. And BC is a team that, it matters how they took that loss. Was it like, are they going to be completely down? Or are we going to see the team be like, no way, we should have won that. We're going to come out, we're going to prove ourselves that we deserve that win. And are they going to come out at home hungry to beat the Riders? And they could. They've done it before. They were playing great ball until a recent loss. And when you look at the losses with Travis Lule, they've always been close losses. But you're playing against a Riders defense that is top of the league. One of the top of the league defensive units. And the offensive unit that's caught on fire last game against the top defense in the CFL, Stampeders. It's BC's got its work for them. They've got to come out. If they want to win, it's going to be tough. And like I last game, I said the Stampeders were going to win because they were hungry. But I see the Riders winning because they're feeling like they're hot. They just beat Calgary. They've got hot hand. That offensive unit, that defensive unit. They are playing to their potential now. And it really leaves the Lions, I don't know what they're going to do. They've got to come out and they've got to play out of their mind to possibly beat this Riders team just due to the huge win the Riders had last week. And not only was it if it was just a defensive win, it would have been, could have been a toss-up, but as a whole team for the Riders, it was huge. And there's so much potential now for this team. And they could easily turn the season around. And I just hope it's not too late. So I'm thinking this is the end of the episode. It's been a great week. I'm excited for this week. I'm hoping the Riders do well. And like always, you can follow myself at Twitter at @A_Olette31. Morgan Mats at Morgan Mats 1. The Sidelined at The Sidelined. That's all our Twitter stuff. And if you're not into Twitter, go find our Facebook page, The Sidelined. It's an open page. Right now it's just Morgan and myself. But everyone can join in. We can debate about CFL, NFL, NBA, comic books, that kind of stuff, video games, Morgan and I both enjoy that. So make sure you check The Sidelined on Facebook to get updates and to for us to stay contact with you guys to see what you guys think we should be doing. So thank you for listening to The Sideline this week, and see you next episode. Have a great week.